Without further ado, I'd like to introduce the first debate, which is, this House believes that the measurement problem is a pseudo-issue. On the affirmative team, we have Jesse, Shuyi, and John. And on the negative team, we have Maywee, Nick, and Ben. And so I guess we can just start by doing a pre-vote. Anyone who agrees with the affirmative team, put your hand up. So one, two, and oh no, you can't vote. So three, yep. And anyone who agrees with the negative team, please put your hand up. Oh my. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Okay, so that's 15 versus 2. So let's start with the first speaker of the affirmative team.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, physicists and philosophers, friendlies and enemies. Today, the House believes that the measurement problem is a pseudo-issue. What measurement problem? I hear you cry. There is no issue, I hear you deny. It's a controversy for people who care, whilst others leave in despair. Sadly, the philosophy community doesn't offer a unanimous definition for the measurement problem. For the sake of making progress in this debate, let's summon Wikipedia's definition as how the wave function collapses, if at all. Already I sense a bit of unease on the floor. Lucien Hardy, our distinguished audience member here, likes to quote Philip Pearl, who thinks that the measurement problem is better called the reality problem, an issue we won't be addressing today because it's such a gargantuan problem that we postpone it to a later debate. Others like Giancarlo Girardi calls it the quantum macro objectification problem. Now, okay, forgoing the jargon, let's dissect the issue as Itamar Pitofsky would and introduce two classifications, the big and the small measurement problem. The big problem is that given that we have a set of possible outcomes, A, B, and C, for example, how did we end up with one particular outcome? The small measurement problem is the more subtle one. What makes a measurement a measurement? Is it axiomatic, part of our formalism? Is it interaction? Is it consciousness? Okay, before getting too carried away, let's try and address what we define as a pseudo issue. Is the measurement problem an issue of physics, of formalism, of epistemology, of metaphysics in general? Or is it an entirely different beast, perhaps? Indeed, what a pseudo-issue is to a physicist may be very different to what a pseudo-issue is for a metaphysicist. Now, let's see why this is a pseudo-issue for metaphysicists. Anton Zeilinger thinks that quantum states represent information. We must accept that quantum probabilities are inherent without classical interpretation. Our resistance to this is inevitable from our classical intuition, our intuition of macroscopic phenomena. Now, others would go further and suggest that by embracing the probabilistic nature of quantum mechanics, we should accept a more radical view of science. Jim Hartle, quoted by Chris Fuchs in the literature, claims that the state is a construct of the observer, not the objective property of a physical system. Now, this bold claim and this camp in general argues that we may have to actually abandon our beloved notion of objective reality in quantum mechanics. Before getting too worried, let me turn to the issue of how this might be a pseudo-issue for us physicists. Quantum mechanics is ultimately a scientific theory. Karl Popper, one of our great philosophers of science, insists that scientific theories should be falsifiable. Science is an empirical discipline based on understanding natural phenomena that can be experimentally tested and falsified. This is the operationalist view. There is no experiment to establish a mechanism for the collapse or to distinguish between the interpretations. The issue is unscientific. Is that it? Okay. Is that it? Okay. And today I hope that the victory is not theirs. Indeed, that's all I have. Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and all my friends. Today, my team will refute the claim that the measurement problem is simply a pseudo issue. We argue that in both senses of the phrase pseudo issue, the measurement problem is clearly not any of them, not whether it's worth working on in quantum foundations because it's, as Jesse said, unscientific, or in the sense where it is not a real physical problem. First, we claim that the measurement problem is indeed a problem of quantum theory. If you think of the quantum state psi as an ontic state, something that truly describes reality, I believe that is why most of us already inherently believe that there is a measurement problem. What goes on is this: when you take a measurement on the wave function, if it's in the superposition, then why on earth do you only get one outcome at the end of the measurement? If psi describes reality, then I believe that everyone of us has heard the case of Schrödinger's cat. When you have a state and you entangle it with a quantum process, such as the decay of an atom, and you entangle it with something macroscopic such as Schrödinger's cat, then you have a superposition of two different states if you just apply the ordinary unitary operation of quantum mechanics. You have an entangled state of atom decays, cat is dead, plus atom has not decayed and cat's alive. So how do you actually reconcile this with our classical understanding of how things work? Because you cannot obviously have a cat that's both dead and alive if you believe that the quantum state really is an ontic state and you have such a weird superposition. And then what happens when you take a measurement? When someone opens the box to Schrödinger's cat, he always only sees a dead or an alive cat, and that is an experimentally verified fact. So in this case, there is a clear measurement problem. If you think of this situation itself and think of psi as an ontic state, then here you go, that's your measurement problem. And if you think of psi as an epistemic state, which you might think that would be better, in the sense that you can reconcile the measurement problem by thinking that, even though you have a superposition of quantum states, if it only represents the information that you have, when you take a measurement, you only collapse it to one outcome, and there is no problem because that simply represents what you know right now. More information that you get, and hence you only have your one quantum state left behind. However, there's still a problem because how do you reconcile having only probabilities to something that is an actual physical outcome, a distinct outcome? There is the pressing question of how these probabilities in quantum mechanics get turned into actual, well-defined outcomes, no matter what interpretations you take. For all the interpretations we've seen so far, there always is this problem of how all these different probabilities simply collapse into one outcome. Quantum theory does not tell you which outcome you should predict, and that is what Jesse has mentioned as the big measurement problem. So in a different sense of what Jesse has defined as a pseudo issue, in that the question is not worth working on because different interpretations of the measurement problem and how to solve it do not have an experimentally testable way of distinguishing between one interpretation and the other, our team would claim to refute that because interpretation is, as always, understanding. And it's clear that we do not understand quantum theory because we cannot reconcile it with gravity.
Good afternoon. Our team would believe that the measurement problem would disappear if we are ready to discuss discard the classical picture of the world and of reality, the picture with which we are familiar and comfortable with. We would not expect to explain the quantum world with only our classical experience and reasoning. Keeping this in mind, let's take a look at the measurement in an operational perspective. What happens in a measurement? In my understanding, our quantum object comes to an apparatus and interacts with it. And as the apparatus is designed by us in such a way that it can make some measurement, the states of the object and the apparatus get entangled and involved together. Since the apparatus is macroscopic and has many degrees of freedom, we can imagine the combined system experience decoherence. And that is, as far as I see, the off-block diagonal terms in the density matrix get so small and negligible, and the system can be described by probability. People who would claim that the ignored terms, however small, will have impact on our world. And I would not deny that. I would believe that quantum fluctuations are part of our world and that a perfectly designed machine can go wrong even once in a zillion times. Thus, I think that decoherence will address the so-called small measurement problem, which asks for an explanation for how outcomes come about in a measurement. If this explanation is vague and not satisfactory to you, it is probably because that physics have not known the mechanism of entanglement in decoherence well enough. There will be assumptions to propose, calculations to do, and experimental tests to make. But in this way, those are the topics we should work on and not the measurement problem. After decoherence, or I should say, at the same time of decoherence, the system falls into one of the possible outcomes following the guidelines of probabilities. How this can happen, referred to as the big measurement problem, is a pseudo-issue that arises from taking the classical view of possibility. Classical mechanics is deterministic, and so in a classical reasoning, we should argue that, for example, that the outcomes of tossing a coin is 50-50. But this is only because we don't have the exact information of the initial states, and we lose track of the chaotic fluid dynamics in the process. Quantum mechanics, on the contrary, suggests the existence of true randomness, which prevents us from asking questions like, how come the outcome is this and not that? With this operational view of measurement, we can go back to interpret our quantum theory. And a consistent way of interpreting, I personally believe, would be assuming that the quantum that wave functions describe information or is a calculating device. And so there is, after all, no measurement problem, since all we do is updating our knowledge after the measurement. Thank you.
And ding is... Okay. Good afternoon. I think that your explanation of decoherence, it's a thermodynamic limit type of argument, and it does make a bridge from quantum probability to macroscopic non-interference, but that doesn't mean that it can avoid the measurement problem. Just because it explains why chairs and tables and wardrobes aren't constantly interfering with each other in our natural life, it doesn't explain how or why the wave function should collapse and a set of distinct possibilities become a single actuality. It leaves us with what Arthur Fine described as a whole which is incompatible with the definiteness of its parts. So even given that the state interacts with an Avogadrically large number of particles, and that possible outcomes decohere into distinct states, we don't argue with that. But how can one of those distinct outcomes be chosen? And if you say that they all exist simultaneously, how can we explain why we perceive outcome A? And this brings up many philosophical issues. Why should we perceive outcome A and ignore the wave function corresponding to outcome B and ignore its continued evolution? So it's easy to say that quantum mechanics and quantum logic are just the fundamentals of reality, and that any issues we have with them are simply because our brains are designed to think about classical probabilities. But this still doesn't really address the issue. It still doesn't ex- give an explanation of how a wave function can collapse, or if it doesn't collapse, how we should interpret having a single reality. It's easy to claim that the wave function is not the ultimate description of reality, and that the problems of its transformation and measurement aren't really problems at all. I haven't done enough Zen meditation to believe that there is no description of reality. And I'm not ready to go back to pre-Copernican times and say that an agent is required in order for anything to exist. So this argument is really just saying that we have a need for a new and deeper theory beyond quantum mechanics. We all agree that we have that need, but the wave function is currently the description we do have, and it's premature to dismiss any interpretation of it. The interpretation of quantum theory is not just taking arbitrary and useless explanations and putting them on top of the formalism. It doesn't mean that we just invoke God or the non-local power of true love to interfere with our system so that we can feel comfortable with it. It's not about feeling comfortable. To interpret is to attempt to understand. And that's what all of physics is. We're attempting to understand reality. We don't just want to have a formula that allows us to do some computations and get some result without understanding what is happening. So maybe by interpreting the quantum wave function, we can get insight and intuition into the next scientific theory.
Tell me when. Okay. So a lot of eloquent things have been said on both sides here so far, and it's time to wrap up. We still believe that our opponents are dismissing the measurement problem prematurely. It's unfair, and it's maybe even a little bit simplistic. We all seem to agree that the measurement problem is pretty glaring if we accept the wave function as an element of physical reality. There are plenty of problems there that have already been addressed, so I won't waste my time on those. But I did want to reiterate our opposition to two of major points. Firstly, we do not believe that decoherence is an answer to the measurement problem. It's been claimed that, you know, people who focus on the measurement problem just can't accept, you know, the fact that the universe is non-classical. You know, the universe is non-classical, we're told, but it appears classical because of decoherence in some limit. We frankly don't think that's an answer. It just doesn't address the question. It shows why things don't seem to interfere with each other, but it doesn't show why things are one way and not another. We also emphasize that understanding an issue does require talking about it. You can't just say the world is non-classical, deal with it, move on. If we can't talk about it, we haven't understood it. Bohr used to like to say, understanding requires talking about things in plain, you know, common everyday language. The other issue that we want to end on is that epistemic claims, saying that the wave function represents merely our knowledge about a system and of course it should collapse when we gain new information, isn't a good answer either. Because to somebody who claims that the wave function is epistemic, we can always say, okay, sure, it's just knowledge. What is it knowledge about? You can't have knowledge of nothing. Or you can try, but it's not, you know, I'm not interested and it's useless. In order for an underlying theory to be the appropriate, to have quantum mechanics as an appropriate limit, we know that it's got to have irreducible probabilities in it, and the measurement problem remains, even in this deeper underlying theory. If there are probabilities, we have to know how does something transition from having some likelihood of going into state A or going to state B and actually being in state A or state B. As I said to John the other day, you know, there's a difference between me knowing with probability one that you're gonna get a burger on Wednesday and you actually eating that burger, right? You'd much rather eat the burger than just know that you're going to. And that transition has to happen at some point in time. Let me check my notes here. Anyway, in conclusion, we feel that the measurement problem has not been answered and remains an issue, and that it is an important issue for us to continue to work on, because understanding is the only way that we can move forward. If we want to address questions in quantum gravity, if we want to come up with some theory beyond quantum mechanics, we've got to understand what we've got now. And at the moment, we simply don't.
So, first of all, saying the element of physical reality thing is obvious proof of the measurement problem. I just want to say that until you define what existence is, then I don't even know how to talk about these things. So anyway, we find the arguments of our opponents to be ultimately unconvincing. Ben, and to a certain degree, we're going to be talking past each other, I think, and people will still have to pick sides. Ben says the measurement problem consists of trying to treat the quantum world in a consistent way, and that as it stands, there is still a problem regarding measurement. And we claim that there is no problem regarding measurement when we listen to the formalism correctly. So operationally, as has been stated already, quantum mechanics works fine. We can achieve what has to be the first order goal of any physical theory, which is predicts measurement outcomes. I mean, we do so probabilistically, but at least we do so consistently probabilistically. So since these measurement outcomes are the only thing we have, and there's evidence that it's the only thing we can have, then predicting their outcome probabilities is the best that we could ever do. So while our opponents may argue and admit that the world is non-classical, as it seems to be, we say that their discomfort with that fact, nonetheless, no matter all of the jargon it's hidden behind, stems from an unwillingness to be comfortable with a theory that allows for non-classical events. Like, as I said, what does it mean for existence to even be there? Why should we assume that existence is our assumed, like, our intuitive understanding of it from the macroscopic world if we're trying to describe the microscopic world? There's no a priori reason to do so. So, why should quantum mechanics be fundamentally explainable by classical mechanics at all? I mean, this is, after all, quantum mechanics, not classical mechanics. So, obviously, there's no problem in adopting some philosophy regarding one's interpretation of the quantum mechanical formalism, but because, and as we readily agree, this could be useful for making further theories afterwards. If you have some intuition, then it's definitely going to help you reason through what the next theory should be based on your intuition. We just simply argue that this is not what we do in physics, at least as I understand physics, which is that it's about observables and predicting observables. So, the measurement problem is still a pseudo-issue for one more reason mentioned by Jesse. So, every interpretation of quantum mechanics solves the measurement problem. And as of yet, none of them are falsifiable by experiment, which to me basically means that the measurement problem is a pseudo-issue. Finally, quantum mechanics is incomplete if for no other reason than it doesn't incorporate gravity and all of those effects completely. So there's no reason to believe that the measurement problem is anything that has to be independently resolved.
So on the topic of this house believes the measurement problem is a pseudo issue, who agrees with the affirmative side? Did I write it down wrong last time? Okay. who believes, who agrees with the negative side? Well, so the negative side got more votes, but the affirmative side collected many more votes as opposed to the previous. So in the pre-vote, we had 3 versus 15, and now we have 11 versus 18. So I don't think it's possible to declare who the winner is. Yep. So yeah, depending on which metric you want to use, yeah, either side wins.